And this morning, I want to talk about your calling. How many have ever, Lord, what's my calling? What's my calling? Have you ever been there? Okay, thank you for being honest, because at the moment when I looked at you and said that question, I'm like, okay, I'm the only one, apparently. I'm the only one that said, Lord, what's my calling? And, I remember a story about T.L. Osborne. Now, before internet, before the ability to whatever, he was the first evangelist that we know of, or missionary that we know of in modern day, in history, that we've been able to keep numbers, that was able to preach face-to-face to a million people at one time. He was the first one that we've ever known to do that in the history of mankind, which is spectacular. And so he was actually preaching in a different nation, and I believe it was Germany that he was preaching in, and he said that the people there were all caught up in your calling. What has God called you to do? The mantle that is on your life, all this stuff. And so in a Christian interview, they asked him, what is your calling? What is the mantle? What has God spoken to you purposely and told you what your calling is? And his response was, I am not called to do anything. I've never had God tell me what my calling was. And he said it just floored everyone. They couldn't even imagine someone who has done this much for the Lord tell them that God has never spoken to them and told them to go do anything. Now we see, there are certain great men and women of the Word of God throughout the ages that have had a calling. Kenneth Hagin said that God spoke to him and told him, go teach my people faith. So, they're absolutely not knocking hearing something from God, but this was his statement that he told that organization that was interviewing him. He said, the calling that I received was out of the Word of God, and I read in the Bible, go to the highways and the byways. Go be an evangelist to the uttermost parts of the earth. I read that, and I just did it. Oh, that's good stuff. Just imagine someone reading the Bible and saying, I'm going to do that. That's what happened for him. He just read the Word of God and he said, I'm going to do that. Now, can I tell you something? Now, absolutely, I believe that we all have callings in our life. I believe there are people that are in business that are called to be in business. I believe that there are people that are just, genius at figuring out problems, and it's part of their calling. Can I tell you something? There's people who sing that are called to sing that are not Christians, and the moment they get up and step into their calling, there is an anointing, there is a draw, there is a pull. I'm going to tell you something. What is her name? Adele? That woman is called to sing. I wish she would give her life to Jesus if it ain't already and sing me a song And can I say this too? Not every person that is saved that sings is supposed to just go into the Christian music either. I think we need some top 10 that is out there that are saved. I believe Eminem is called to sing. He's great at what he does. I'm sorry. Whitney Houston, called to be amazing. Now, she used her gifting in a manner and went out in a manner. Now, I don't know. We're not questioning anybody's salvation, whether they called upon the Lord or not. That's not what I'm here to do. But I'm saying not every Christian is supposed to be running a Christian business. Now, it might be Christian by definition because they're the head of it and they have morals and they stand up for those morals, just like Chick-fil-A, who stands up for their morals, and they're great. I love Chick-fil-A. Oh, and I even saw that our Catholic brothers and sisters have just got their own restaurant lately. It's fantastic. It's called Pope Yes. They serve spicy chicken. Pope Yes. Oh, Popeyes. I'm sorry. I thought it was Pope Yes. Yes. So it's not Catholic? Oh, okay. Well, now I know how to spell Popeyes. Pope, yes. No, I'm not serious, but I appreciate you think I might be. All right, I probably shouldn't have told that joke. I got y'all all riled up. That's hysterical. But yes, there are some Christian businesses out there that it's not that they're just Christian, it's just they stand up for Christian morals. And as the world gets darker, they will be more light, because in the 50 years ago, you would have probably not even known, because that's just the way businesses operated. And they don't have to get out and make a statement, they just do what they do. And so I'm not saying everybody who's saved has got to be in a Christian business and put a fish on the front. And my point is that we hear calling and we automatically believe everybody's got to be in the fivefold ministry, whether it's preaching. God, tell you something, everybody in this place has a calling, a purpose on their life that is unique to them, that is theirs. But also there is a broader calling called the Christian calling, that it doesn't matter what your first calling is to be, your second calling is to be a Christian, and you don't take a break from that. Have you ever heard of a sabbatical? Lord, sometimes I feel like I need a sabbatical. You know, because most pastors, when they take a sabbatical, it's like a month long. I'm here like, good Lord. I don't even know. I'm going to have to, it's going to be like duck, duck, goose, just tag somebody. You're it. I'm going for a month. And then it's going to be their job to run the church for a month. I love that. I was talking to a pastor, and he said he takes a whole month sabbatical every year. I'm like, that sounds good. And then he's like, the first week, he says he goes on vacation with his family. And he said, anybody who goes on vacation with their family knows that that is not a vacation. He said, it may be for the children. If you got children, it's just for them. The husband and wife, it is not a vacation. And I heard that, and I'm like, that's true. That is very, very true. He says, the second week, he spends time with his wife. He just spends time with his wife. He says, the third week, he goes off by himself and studies and reads. And then the fourth week, he writes a lot. And I'm like, ooh, this is sounding better every day. I like this idea. And so, but this is the thing. When I hear that, it's almost like a vacation, right? You check out from what you're doing. But this is the deal. Now, I've gone on what he calls is not real vacations, and I'd happen to agree with him, with the family. But when you go, I might step away from preaching, and I'm not preaching. And I have been asked, I have had family's always proud of you, right? And so when you go home, they're like, hey, I got this church. I want you to preach. I've already talked to them about you. And I'm like, no, I do that every week. I'm on vacation. I'm going to go, and I'm going to listen to another preacher preach. I know it's crazy, but I don't always have to stand up and speak in front of a lot of people. I know y'all think that I like talking a whole lot, and I do. Don't get me wrong. I like talking to people. I enjoy talking. But I don't have to do it every week. Now, this is part of my calling. I'm going to have to be in it, and I understand that, but there's times that I can take a break from that. But you know what you can never take a break from? Your Christian calling. Your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because there's time I'm on vacation. I've gone to a church. We're church is over. And when I say I went to a church, a Pentecostal holiness church. Actually, I'll just even tell you the name so you can even look it up. Apalachicola Pentecostal Holiness Church. Woman pastor, not even supposed to be there because Pentecostal, you know, the denomination don't recognize women as being able to be preachers. But, they just list her husband as the head, and she's the pastor. She wears pants, makeup, and earrings. She breaks all the Pentecostal holiness rules. Breaks them all. Cuts her hair. Shaves her leg. Trims all that down like they should. Sorry. There's a whole reason why I stand up here, because when I get up there, if I'm going in the wrong direction, she lets me know. So, in all of this, she's there. I'm there, and I'm thinking, all I'm going to do when it's done, because they're going to have an altar time, everybody's going to go up, me and my family, we're going to get up, and we're going to slip right out. We're going to get out of here, and I'm going to go eat a good meal. And so just as soon as I'm getting up and I'm slipping out, one of the elders look at me and goes, and I'm here like, Jesse, I'm going to have to go up there. They want me to pray for somebody. So I get up, and I walk up, and they're like, somebody's been diagnosed with something. We want you to pray. And I pray. Why? Because, yes, I'm on vacation from being a pastor, but I am not on vacation from being a Christian. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't take a break from that. That's a part of me for the rest of my life. That's who I am. That's who you are. Can I tell you something else? One of your callings? So let's just look at this. I'm going to give you 3 points that's going to help you find your Christian calling. And even maybe shed some light on what you're called to do throughout your life. But number one, are you ready for this? You got to have a knowing. on the inside of you, there will be a knowing. But I want to look at this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. You're going to go to Luke chapter 9. But before we get there, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. So you're going to Luke 9. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. One of your callings is to be a saint of God. And that is to transform your life into the image of his son, Jesus. That's a part of your Christian calling. Your Christian calling is not to be you. Lewis, now what? Do you remember when you got saved? How old were you, Lewis? You were 3 or 4. You remember. You're like me, real young, and got saved very early in life. So God saved you from whatever you did to your sisters, pulling her hair, tripping her, smacking her in the face, holding her down. You would have died for that, huh? Holding her down, doing the spit thing. Did you ever do that? Oh, I didn't either. I'm sorry. whatever he did, God saved him from that. Now, some of you might have been a little older than Lewis when he got saved. Some of you may have been 30. Some of you may have been 40. Some of you may have been in your teens or in your 20s. God saved you from that. So Lewis, at 3 or 4 years old, he gave up his evil ways. He turned from the dark and the wickedness that he was following. And he gave his life to Jesus. And just like you, you have turned from your wicked ways, whatever they were, and you gave your life to Jesus. You don't have the right to be like you used to be. You don't have the right to think like you used to think. Now look, thoughts may cross your mind, but they're not even who you are anymore. You used to meditate on things. You used to become a certain way, and it was kind of who you were. When you gave your life to Jesus, that person died and went away. So now a thought tries to come back, and it's like gnats. Gnats are irritating. You just smack them away. And so just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's you. You just smack it away. That ain't me. I died to that way of life. That's not me. And then the good news is you find out that there's spray. And they're still annoying, but they're out there, and you're covered. You apply the word of God. You spray it on you. And you're like, I don't even know why I wasn't doing this when I first got saved. And some of you are applying. You know, the Bible says some shall have 30, 40, or 100%. There's DEET out there, 40% DEET. I get the 98% DEET because illegally that's as much as you can buy. And it's not supposed to go on your skin. Right? Right. We went camping. Somebody put it on their face, and they're like, I can't feel my lips. I can't feel my lips. I'm like, of course you can't feel your lips. That's 98% DEET. It ain't supposed to be on your lips. The word of God's supposed to be on your lips. And so all of a sudden, we got to a place where we apply the word, and those thoughts will, they don't even try to land anymore. They come in, oh, nope, they got the word, and they just fly right on off. They come on in, oh, nope, that ain't even the same person anymore, and fly right on off. See, you ain't got the right to be like you used to be. You have to transform into the image of the Son of Jesus. There's where we give our life to God that we change. The more we know, the more we change. The reason why a lot of Christians don't change is because they don't know. They don't even know they should be changing. Have you ever brought a new car and you had a beater, you know, something 15, 20 years old, and you get into something new, you don't even know. Most of y'all don't even have that problem. Let's talk about phones. Because I even heard this morning, you get new phone, and they're like, I didn't even know it did that. I didn't even know it did that. See, some people, they give their life to Jesus just like getting a new phone. They're still trying to use it like they did the old phone. And then they found out there's options. I lost my phone. I can't find it. Oh, well, all you got to do is log in online and say I lost it, and it will start beeping, and you can find it. Well, I put it on. I put the ringer off. Well, if you liked it, you should have put a ring on it. No, I'm just kidding. Now it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. The ringer can be off, and it will still beep. It will still beep. I didn't even know it had that feature. Well, we start looking in the Word of God. Oh, wait, I didn't even know it had that feature. I didn't even know. All I've done is showed up to church all my life, sit on the pew, heard three good points, and we sang some songs, and I just kept coming because I knew that's what I was supposed to do. Some people didn't even know that that option or feature was in there. But see, you don't even have to live life like you used to. You can live life like Jesus lives life. You can walk around and pray for the sick. You can walk around and be the very miracle somebody's looking for. You can be the shining light of God to a lost and dying world. So you can have a knowing on the inside. Have you found Luke chapter 9 and verse 1? And so, Luke 9, 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. And called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Several times in Scripture do we read that Jesus told them, I'm sending you out to heal the sick, to preach the gospel, and to cast out devils. And, you know, it really never hit me, but, you know, reading this, I mean, like, that's mind, soul, and body. God is saying, I'm sending you out to do everything for a human being. For a person, I want you to take care of their mind. I want you to take care of their soul. I want you to take care of their body. Basically, if we're going to break it down to the nuts and bolts, I want you to help people. I want you to find somebody and help them in every way you can. I want you to be the light to them. Now, let's look at this. Spirit, soul, and body. Preach the gospel so their spirit can be saved. Heal the sick, so that deals with the body. Cast out demon, that deals with the soul. Mind. Spirit, our mind, our thoughts, suggestions, ideas, the way that our emotions. Because that's where the devil torments us, is he gets into our thought process. He gets into us condemning ourselves. Now, a lot of people blame the devil for a lot of stuff. And I think the devil's on the side. You have, where the old TV come on? What's that station? Nobody knows. What is it? Is it MeTV? I don't even know anymore. It used to be called something else. But Flip Wilson used to come on. The devil made me do it. Yeah. All right. And so I used to like that. I thought that was funny. But you know what's funny about it is that a lot of people in the Christian world believe that. Oh, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. That wasn't me. That was the devil. I believe the devil's on the sideline. Yay, go! Kill yourself, kill yourself. Yay, rah, rah, ree. Spend all your money. Rah, rah, ree. Keep going. Be mean. Be hateful. Good job. Tell people you love God and then cuss them out. Yeah! I think he's on the sideline cheering us on when what we need to deal with is spraying on a little bit more of the Word of God. We need to get the Word of God on the inside of us so that we can transform into the image of the Son. Jesus said, I am the truth and the light. The way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then he says in John, I am the Word made flesh. So how are we going to get more of God on the inside of us? We get Jesus. We get into the Word. That's who he is. He says, I do nothing except I see the Father do it first. And so, one, we have to have a knowing. Now, I want to say this. Now, before we know what we're called to do, before we know what we're called to do, or let's put it this way, before the disciples knew what they were called to do, Jesus called them to be something before he called them to do something. I'm going to explain that to you. I know it looks like, huh? Okay, let's turn to Mark. Turn to Mark. Hurry, 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 hurry. Get to Mark. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. He ordained 12 that they should be with him that he might send them forth to preach, to have power to heal the sick, and to cast out devils. Go back to verse 14 for me. Go back to 14 for me. And he ordained the 12 not that they should cast out devils, not that they should heal the sick, not that they should do any of that. He ordained the 12 that they should be with him. That's what he ordained them to do. He ordained them, he called them to be with him. Now being with him, they received power to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick. That's where they got the power to even go out and preach the gospel. That's where the Holy Spirit was with God. And hanging out with Jesus, it absorbed into their very flesh, into their clothing, into all of them. Have you ever worked at a restaurant? How many of my restaurant people? You begin, let me just ask, how many a pizza place? I see. The dough, when you walk out, if you work in the kitchen, you smell like that dough. Your clothes smell like that dough. If you fry food, you smell like fried food. You walk out of the house, everybody knows. You barbecue, I've made this mistake before. You barbecue, you don't have time to take a shower. You go to church, you sit down, everybody scoots closer. Why? Because you smell like what you hung around. It absorbs into your very pores. And then when you sweat, it begins to come out of you. There's stuff like garlic. You can eat garlic. If you eat garlic, we know you ate garlic. It comes out your breath. It sweats out. It's in your clothes. It's in everything. Because you have absorbed everything that it was. So this is it. When you hang out with Jesus, when you hang out with the Word, it gets into every fiber of you. God has ordained you to know Him. And when you begin to know Him, all of a sudden somebody with sickness comes in your presence and compassion pours out of you, draws you to them like a magnet. And all of a sudden you're here like, why have I not seen so many sick people? They've always been here, but all of a sudden you see them. Why? Because you have hung out with the Father. Your life has changed into the image of Jesus. And all of a sudden, like a magnet, you're pulled to people. And the compassion won't let you see them stay the way they are. You've got to lay hands on them. You've got to step into your calling. And you are ordained to be with Him. The same as the disciples, you are called to be with Jesus. Woo! Because when you're with Him, all of a sudden, because some things are taught, some things are caught. You know, you can tell Christians, when we start hanging out in camps, you can start telling who they're with. Why? Because they start acting like them. They start saying the same things. Kenneth Hagin used to be, you know, he had a hunchback. He was just a little, like, leaning over in his older age. And all of a sudden, you would see his disciples. When the anointing of God would come on them, they would bend over and pray for people. And I'm like, straighten up, he's an old man. That was not the anointing, that's just who he is. And then, you know, even Mark Brzee, I don't know if y'all know who he is, but when he would pray, his thumbs would go up and his hands would be out to the side. And you would see his people. You would see his people. Those that graduated from his Bible school, their thumbs would go up. Why? Because they caught something. It wasn't taught to them. They caught something. Can I tell you something? My accent was caught. It was not taught to me. It was something just hanging around people. Your accent, yes, you do have one. I'm sorry to tell you. If you like, be like, hey there, damn, come on. I don't have no accent here. Come on. No, you have an accent, eh? You have an accent. It was something that was you caught by hanging around with other people. When you get in the presence of the Word, when you get in the presence of Jesus, all of a sudden you catch stuff. You catch compassion. You catch the Word of God. You catch the knowing. You catch your calling. You catch the ordination to be a saint of God. You catch on to it. And you can't help but to transform your life into the image of His Son. So you got to know Him. Number two, are you ready for this? You got to grow. You know, and then you grow. There's no such thing as Christians that don't grow. You're growing. If you are a disciple, you're growing. I guess that probably is a better way to put it. There's no such thing as a disciple that is not growing. Christians can stay stagnant and never grow, but a disciple has no other option. They have no other choice. Is that when they know, they've got to grow. That is the way this works. Did y'all find, I already read Mark chapter 3, right? So let's go to John 15. John 15, and we're going to read verse 5. But there are three things, like I said, I want to share three things with you that will define your Christian calling. Like I said, number one, knowing. Number two, growing. John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. What do branches do? They grow. They grow out. They latch on to things. Have you seen the side of an old building, a brick building? That vine has grown all the way. Some brick buildings, you can't even see it. All you see is vines. There's a place real close to us. They got a pizza place in there. And the side of the building is all grown up. And they've had to trim. You can't even see the building. They had to trim around an alarm that if, you know, for a fire alarm, so it lets the fire department know it goes off and turns. It was so overgrown that if the alarm went off, the fire department could never find the building. I guess the flames would have tipped them off after a while. But until that time happened, they needed that alarm. But that alarm was covered. Why? Because the branches, the vines grew out and overtook it. Can I tell you something? As the Christians are supposed to do, we're supposed to spread over this world. And the enemy that came in and took the true light, the true purpose of mankind away, we're supposed to cover all that junk, destroy it, bring it down. There's something in the South called Kazoo vines, you know what I'm talking about. It is not native to the South. It's actually a foreign species of plant. We brought it in, Americans, we brought it in because we were so smart. Because it grows so well that when we grade the roads, we wanted something that would cover the side of the road so that the dirt would stay there and not wash away. So we got this plant from another country that just grows so amazingly. We put it in. Guess what? Our conditions are so right. Nothing here eats it. Nothing destroys it. Nothing. No animal tries to take care of it. Goats, they eat everything. But other than that, nothing else eats it or takes it out. So in the South, it's taking down pine trees. It's taking down oak trees. It covers them over, and then the sun can't even get to the tree's leaves anymore because the kudzu has taken over, and in years to come, it will bring the oak tree down. It will bring the pine tree down. Why? Because it has covered, it has grown, it has a purpose in life, and that is to live, to survive, to thrive, and to spread. Christians should have the mentality of a kudzu. I will go into a nation. China, yeah, you want to say that you're an atheist country? Guess what? We will keep coming. We will spread the gospel. We are connected to the true vine. Cut us off. Go ahead. Cut all supplies off. If that's what you feel you must do, we're not connected to a government. We're not connected to a nation. We are connected to the God who created the heavens and the earth. He will supply all our needs according to His righteousness. His glory. You cannot take us out. The things that oppose us, we in time will bring them down. Why? Because we grow. We cannot be cut off. The only way we're cut off from the vine is not being connected, not dwelling, not putting the word on the inside of us. Nothing can disconnect us from the true vine except for us. And I refuse to give up. Whoo, my goodness. So, 2 Peter, let me just read this. 2 Peter 3 and 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might say, well, how am I supposed to grow? Well, one, grow in grace. Be more graceful. Not like, you know, the way you walk and talk. That's fine. Be that way too. But grow in giving grace to other people. All right. I'm just going to give you an example in my life very recently. My lovely wife, this is why you get married. Because if you don't hear the Holy Spirit, she will hear it for you. So we're camping, right? And somebody comes in at like, I don't even know, it's dark. And I'm sleeping. and they have they start setting up their tent, driving stakes down. Some kid is yelling, "Hey, daddy! Hey, daddy!" I'm like, I am sleeping. It is like midnight. I am here like I am about to get out and tell them why the rules say you got to shut up at 11 o'clock. And so you know, and so they're setting up their truck lights are on so they can see what they're doing and all this. And in the morning, I'm talking to Jesse about it. I'm like, did y'all hear that? I mean, they were hammering, doing all this stuff. And she goes, but Tim, because she doesn't call me pastor, you know. She doesn't honor me like the rest of you people. I'm staying up here. And so she says, but you know, what if they have a family? And what if their car broke down on the way here? What if? And they just barely made it here for their kids, for the kids. What if they just made it here? And they said, oh, bless their heart. And I'm like, thank you for the change of perspective. I get it. I'm not going to go and talk to them now. I'm going to let it all go because they could have just barely made it here. I'm going to give them more grace. And can I tell you something? This is a real struggle of mine. Where to show grace and where to help people grow up, you know? That's a real struggle. And I'm trying to find a balance. And I think I'm doing better now than I ever have in my entire life. And I will continue to work on it. But what I'm saying is we can grow in grace. Can I tell you something? You better be glad you didn't meet me when I was 15 when it came to the Word of God. Because I was fire and brimstone. You better turn or you better burn. You going to get right or you going to get left. Jesus is coming. It was, oh, you better not take a sip of that joy juice because joy is in the Lord. You put that on your lips, you'll spend a lifetime in hell. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Give your life to Jesus. And we were all about the outside. We were all about what things looked like. Did you dress like us? Did you look like us? Did you talk like us? Did you speak churchanese? Oh, I'm blessed. I'll see you here, see you there, see you in the air, brothers and sisters. That's how we knew if you were saved. And it was all about outward appearance instead of what was on the inside. And I'm going to tell you something. I have grown in grace. One area that we grow in is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you get of Jesus on the inside of you, the more you will grow in grace. You can't help but to know Jesus and not show more grace than you do. Oh, that went over really well this morning. So let me tell you something. You can grow. You're supposed to grow. And you're supposed to help others grow. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but off of branches, sometimes other little twigs grow off of them. Leaves grow off of them. You're supposed to help your brothers and sisters grow. You know, life groups. We have life groups. You're supposed to be going to life group, if not just for you. How about for somebody who's only been saved for 5 years, and you've been saved 2 years after Jesus was dead? You know, you've been saved your whole life. You've been saved for a long time. You're supposed to be there, not just for you, but for other people to share the wisdom, situations you went through. Can I tell you something? The world is struggling. The world is going through hell. And new believers that come into the kingdom of God are trying to get rid of some stuff off of them that they've experienced all their life and all they know is over here. And you've lived a life for 40 years. In the kingdom of God, it is your job to help those who just came into the family. You need to get in a life group, share your wisdom, share the word of God that's on the inside of you. Show up.
Well, Pastor, I'm busy.
Join the club. We're all busy. Anyway, well, just move right on. And so in this, we need to know and we need to grow. And let me tell you something. Life group, show up to your life group. Church events, show up to them. Give your knowledge. Be there. Be there for other people. This is what we're called to do. Get plugged in and do what God has called you to do. And your first calling is to dwell with Him and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you're called to this local church, then be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the local church. And let me just say this. We got people visiting us from Canada. Thank you so much. From Thunder Bay. Go to Thunder Bay where you're called and be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the local body right where you're called. We're praying for you. We're believing God that you're making a difference in your community like never before. And so we're going, this is what's wonderful. I've even told them, now jokingly, I would just say jokingly, if it's real, I will count on it. But I said, you know, if it ever hits the fan in the United States, I am coming as a refugee and y'all are housing me and feeding me and going to be there. And I might bring 100 people with me. But we're coming. I will email you. Send me a letter right now. Send me a letter. We're crossing the border. I got 100 people with me. We're here for a church plant. we're coming. But now, brothers and sisters, if something happened, they're there for us. And I can't imagine anything happening in Canada. But if it does, come on down. Bring pastor with you. And so we have a family, but we got to know. We got to grow. And so I have this question for you. Are you still growing? I don't care how long you've been in the body. Are you still growing? I've been saved. I'm 80 years old and I've been saved like Lewis when I was 3 or 4. How can I keep going? You can. You can keep growing. You're going to keep growing no matter how long we've been in the gospel. No matter how long we've been in the kingdom, we're going to keep growing. Peter 2:2. You know, I've heard this talking about new believers. As a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow by. Can I tell you something? I still drink milk. And a lot of Christians think that's for babies. That's for babies. It may be. But if you want to grow, my daddy, this is one thing. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I couldn't gain weight. Not really having that problem anymore. But I was in my early 20s. I told my dad, I can't gain weight. I'm losing. I'm trying to gain weight and I'm losing it. Dad, what do I need to do? He said, 2 things. Drink milk at every meal. Milk at every meal. Eat corn for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I said, all right, I can do that. I can do that. I did it. I gained weight. I called him a month or two later. I said, Daddy, it worked. It worked. How did you know that would work? He said, 1, look what milk does to cows. Those calves, man, it'll take a little old calf and make it a heifer. And he said, and look what corn does to pigs. He said, it just fattens them up. I knew if you would do the same thing as cows and pigs, you would be all right. Now I got to cut out the milk and I got to cut out the corn. But in this, let me tell you something. If you want to grow, you've got to desire the word. So you'd be like, I've been in the gospel and the Bible Belt of Jesus Christ for 50 years, brother. I've about done all the growing I can. You want to know why? Because you stopped inhaling the word of God. You want to keep growing? Keep putting the word on the inside of you. You tell me you've got everything, every piece of knowledge you possibly can out of God's word? No, you do not. Get back in it. You got room to grow. You got room to grow. I'm just going to rattle off some scriptures. I don't have time for you to turn to all of them, but you can write them down. Luke chapter 9 and 49. And John answered and said, Master, we have saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he follows not with us. If this is not what Christians do, be like, let me tell you something, Pastor. I saw somebody doing something. I told them to quit it. You want to know why? Because they ain't with our church. They're Baptists, bless God, and we know the Baptists shouldn't be walking in anything like this. I told them to quit it, and quit it now. And what Jesus, I love his response. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And can I tell you something? Isn't that mighty Christian of them? Hey, y'all stop doing what Jesus said because you don't even go to the same church we do. That's a great Christian attitude, isn't it? Our brothers and sisters, we need to join with them, I'm not telling you to go to the Methodists and say, well, everything they believe, we believe like. No, we don't. We don't believe like them. But we do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That should be enough that we can associate and have a good time with and conversations with. I've sent my daughter to several churches, VBSs, Vacation Bible Schools. You want to know why? 1, I get 2 hours without them. It's wonderful. Me and Jesse could go to a restaurant. It's fantastic. You should try it. sometimes. And they get to hear the word of God. Let me tell you this too. My daughter, we had to be interviewed for a private school, right? A Christian school. And so me and Jesse's being interviewed, and I just personally believe if they're asking me a question, they really want my answer, not something that I just made up to sound nice, right? And so they said, okay, there may be a chance that we disagree on doctrine. And if we do, how would you handle that? Without skipping a beat, I knew immediately. I didn't even have to think about it. I just looked the guy right in the eye, and I said, well, I would just show her what you said, and then I would show her why I was right and you were wrong. And he goes, And then Jesse later said, well, you could have came up with a better answer than that. I'm like, well, that's the true answer. If I believe that I'm right, I'm going to show her why he's wrong and tell her why we believe this way. It's not going to bother me. It doesn't bother me that this person believes this and I believe this. We can still believe Jesus is Lord. I still want to send my child to that good school. They may believe something different, but it doesn't change the fact that I'm not scared. My gospel is not so touchy that if somebody disagrees with it, I got to go run and hide. I'll be like, oh, I can't be a part of the world. Well, I'm not a part of it. But it doesn't mean they can't be a part of me. They can see the gospel in other Christians. You know, the second or fifth or eighth church of the Baptists of the Most High on the Pentecostal Holiness Presbyterian First Church of the Frozen Chosen. You know, whatever their name might be, they may believe different than us, but if they believe Jesus Christ is Lord, we can get along. Religious people can't get along with people who disagree with them. Demons can't get along with people who disagree with them. All right. Those are the people, those are the things that can't get along with it. Religion and devils. Those two things cannot get along with disagreements. Oh, let's look at another Christian attitude from one of the disciples. In verse 54, Luke 9, 54. And when his disciple, James and John, saw this. Now, what did they see? A town rejected Jesus. Said, nope, you can't come in here. You're going to be going to Jerusalem. Can't stay here. You're out. So I believe that was Alabama, but, they said, Lord, command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? Hey, Lord, they rejected you. You want us to kill them all? That's his disciples. Can you see how religion can get it wrong? Can you see when you don't spend time with Jesus? These are people that needed to be with Jesus. They were with him all the time. Hey, Jesus, they just said you can't go in there. Should we kill them? Should we kill every one of them? Can you imagine Jesus be like, you know, I'm thinking about that. Give me a second. No, that wasn't the response of Jesus. Verse 55, and he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Jesus didn't come to consume people. He come to set them free. He come to show them the way. Oh, my goodness. Do you know, let me show you, these guys, the same guys that wanted to call fire down. Do you know all of them, now, not Judas, we know how Judas went, but all of them except for John died a martyr. So I wrote down, I just wanted to write down how all of them, how they gave their life up, how they changed. They went from wanting to call fire down from heaven and arguing with Jesus. Jesus, tell us which one is going to sit beside you in heaven. When we all get there, which one of us will be at the seat with you on your right hand? Who will be at your left hand? It's me, right? I'm your favorite. I'm the one you like the most. I'm the one that's traveled with you. When we all lay down, I make sure I sleep closer because I want the anointing to spill over. All these other people, they're out there. They're worried. Look at him. He's over there eating Rice Krispies and all this stuff late at night when you ain't watching and I'm scooting up close to you. It's me, isn't it, Jesus, is going to be at the right hand of the table with you? It's me, right? They're all fighting. But let's see how they changed. Let's see how they knew. Let's see how they grew. Matthew was killed by a sword in Ethiopia while he was preaching. Peter was hung upside down because he told his tormentors, those that were tormenting him, he said, and they were going to crucify him. He said, oh, okay, but don't crucify me up. like Jesus was. I'm not worthy to die that way. Turn me upside down. And so not only was he going to die, he was going to die a more painful death because he said he didn't deserve to die like Jesus. James the Great, James the Great, was beheaded in Jerusalem. Nathan was flogged to death. The other James was thrown over 100 feet down from the temple. Same temple, the same pinnacle that Jesus was brought to and said, I'll give you all of this by Satan. That same point he was thrown off of. Guess what? He survived. When his tormentors found out he survived, they took clubs and they beat him to death. I know this is real uplifting right now. I apologize. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in one of his trips to India. Andrew was beaten by 7 soldiers in Greece and then crucified. History tells us that Andrew stated, this was his statement on the way, because he was held for 2 days before this happened. And it says, I long desire and expected this happy hour. I would say he grew when he hung out with Jesus. So, I'm coming to an end. I've gone long enough. Knowing, growing, my last point, glowing. I don't know if you notice all those rhymed. That takes a lot of thought. I don't want to brag myself up. But, you know, that takes a little bit of work. Knowing, growing, glowing. John 1 and 6. We are meant to be a light in the darkness of this world. There was a man, John 1 and 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. I'm going to tell you, we're not the light, but we are to bear witness of the light. We are a reflection, but I like this. In my daughter's room, they have stars in the moon that glow. And I have a ritual when I put them to bed. I sing them a song. It's not a Christian song. It's Hush, Little Baby. And it's the original, not the new one, the old one. The old one, because that's the one I know. That's the one I know. And it doesn't make sense to them. They don't know what it all means. They've asked me what it means. Daddy, why would you buy me a goat? I don't get it. Yeah. Why, if that diamond ring turns to brass, I don't get it. And so they don't know what it all means, but that's the only version I know. So I sing them that song, and then I pray over them. I pray the word of God over them. I pray one that without fail, it changes, but the one without fail is they'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise all the days of their life, that they will sleep through the night and they'll have no bad dreams. And then I pray, I go off of that, and I pray for them, for their calling, for who they are, that they would know God and that they would walk with him. I pray these things over them. And so while I'm doing all this thing, I have my phone with the flashlight on, and I'm touching the stars and the moon. And so when I leave their rooms, that it's glowing. And it glows for a long time. It normally glows. They're asleep before it stops glowing. That absorbs the light. Now, can I tell you something? If you don't do it, if I don't do that, it'll be dark in their room. And it will never, ever reflect, or it will never glow. The reason it glows is because it has a source to suck in. It has a source to absorb. It has a source of something. As long as we stay connected and dwell with God, we have a source to reflect the light. If the branches are cut off, what can they do? They're cast into the fire. They are destroyed because they are no longer connected to the supplier. If we are connected to the supplier, we will always glow the glory of God throughout us. And so we are to take in the word of God. We are to reflect that to the world. We're not the light. We reflect the light. We glow because we have absorbed and spent time. Our number one calling as Christians, to spend time with Jesus. And as we do so, we will grow and we will glow. Acts 4:13. Now they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The people looked. The world around them looked and said, these men, there's no way that they're like this naturally. They got this from somebody. And they recognized immediately, these men have been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. When you get the word on the inside of you, you spend time with God, the world will look at you and say, these people, they're one of those. They have spent time. They're a disciple. They spent time with Jesus. They recognize that they have been with Jesus. We must grow in our faith. We must grow right where God has placed us. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us that these men turned the world upside down. That was the statement they made about the disciples. These guys, not only have they spent time with Jesus, but they have turned the world upside down. Thomas, good old Doubting Thomas, he gets a bad rap, died in India. That's a little bit of a walk. That's a little bit of a walk from Jerusalem. That man turned the world upside down. And some atheists will say, well, these people, the disciples, Jesus didn't rise. They stole his body. They paid off the guards. Let me tell you something. You don't die because you paid off the guard. You don't go to India and give your life. You don't, in Ethiopia, be attacked for 2 days. You don't do that for a lie you're protecting. You do that because you spent time with the creator of the universe. You saw him give his life and he rose from the dead. And you know that this life is not eternal. That it's here as a vapor of smoke. One day we're here, one day we're gone. When you look at all of eternity and it is worth, my life used to be about me. My life used to be about what I could build, what I could get, the business that I was starting. But I hung out with a man. Hung out with the creator of the universe, the Son of God, got on the inside of me. And now I know, now I'm grown, and now I'm glowing with God on the inside of me. You can't destroy me, as Jesus has said. No one takes my life unless I lay it down. And he was like the disciple who said, I have dreamed of this day. I believe one of the reasons he was dreaming of that day is because, one, he knew the scripture, O death, where is thy sting? This will be a moment. I will step out of this life and into eternity. The one that I saw raised from the dead and ascend to heaven and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. I'm about to be greeted by all of heaven. You don't die for a lie. You give your life for what you believe in. We got to get so much of God on the inside of us that we know no matter what we face, we're going to get to the other side. We got to have the understanding nobody takes my life from me unless I lay it down. Worked for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they didn't even know Jesus. They got to see him, but they didn't even know him at the time. I know him. And they marveled. And they took knowledge of them.